He was unwell yesterday. He's back today. Nice to have you on the show again, Ed Cavalli.
Thanks, guys. I don't think I brought that much to the table, but we got through. And sometimes that's the main thing.
Somebody said the other day you were spotted with the Logie being used as a butt plug.
Now that's
who was that?
Why he's got
who
it today?
Was that? Who said that?
I think it was you, mate.
Was it said that or was it?
Someone, gonna have to beep that.
Someone from was it? I don't know.
Oh, we did today, talk G-strings though.
Yeah, we did talk. Robin, you. Well done. You're out in the suburbs just checking out G, which I really respect.
You're starting to put Ed in the shave as a perv.
You're the biggest perv on this show, Robin. You know that?
Isn't that a ranking? Who's on the podium of top perver?
Who'd be the biggest perv in the other across the room? Like, would it be Osho? Would it be Abby or that new bloke? Or would it be Stav?
Do you reckon? Stav's got it in him.
Stav's mate.
He's lapped him.
He's a puppet of the patriarchy.
Let's just.
But you're cool with it. Like, he's pervy, but you're cool with it. That's just Stav. He's pervin.
Let's talk safe stuff.
He collects cartoon figures.
Cats. Can we talk cats?
Cats that fall off balconies. Cats in G's. Cats that fall off balconies. There's that. There's plenty of other things in the.
Have they fallen off, or were they pushed?
Pushed. Oh, great question.
What is happening? Should have asked.
I don't think the vet would know that. Just fixes the problem.
Dusting their backside for prints.
Push marks.
Okay.
Push marks.
That's enough. Yeah, push marks.
Enjoy the catch up.
Seems push to be marks. Buttock bruising.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. I want to just ask you a question, and maybe this is a quick phone poll from me as a chick to you as blokes. I made an observation yesterday, and let me preface this conversation by saying that in the last couple of days there's been a lot of online social media stuff about a photo Kim Kardashian posted in Mexico. She's holidaying with her sisters, and she posted this shot of her in a G-string bikini, but she didn't airbrush her butt. And for those that know the Kardashians, they have these wonderful ample size buttocks, which they're very famous for.
What does airbrushing do? Could you just inform me?
Just gets rid of the cellulite, really.
Does the airbrushing?
They do. You can do it on your own phone. You can put filters through your phone and make yourself look pretty. You don't know that feature? I can show you. It may not help.
I don't need that
you
feature.
You can have a crack.
I don't know if it also removes hair and Gold Coast Suns tattoos, so I don't know if it's going to help you very much.
Anyway, so with that in mind, that there are lots of photos at the moment doing the rounds of Kim Kardashian in a G-string.
She's
bikini.
Got an enormous backside.
She does. She's got that that kind of South American kind of look.
Armenian.
Sorry. I was going to say, yes, you're right.
It's huge.
No. She could be a good runner if she chose to change careers.
Turn it up.
Because the engine's in the butt. Anyway. Right. I went and did my laps, as I do a couple of times a week, and yesterday I did it at Yeronga Pool. Now, it was pretty rainy. It was pretty miserable. When I was doing the laps, I could feel the rain coming down. But as I got out of the pool, I see a young woman with her partner wearing a red G-string bikini. And it really took my attention because I'm thinking, I'd noticed if anyone was wearing a G-string bikini because my immediate thought is, oh, my God, you are so brave. Rock on, sister, for having the courage to do it.
Normally they're
backpackers.
Normally they're backpackers at
the
beach.
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah. I mean, I've only ever seen them at the beach. But so my question to you is it okay to wear a G-string bikini at a pool?
Yeah. No, it is. Not you.
Okay, what? Why? Okay,
because it's bringing a little bit of Copacabana to the suburbs. Mm. Yeronga Copacabana have almost nothing in common, but now they do. It's a cultural exchange. Sometimes when I find myself at South Bank Beach, Robin.
There's some G-strings there.
If there's some sort of wandering G-string work, you just think, what a wonderful thing to happen.
Multiculturalism.
Multiculturalism at its best.
Can I tell you, I will never wear a G-string bikini, but I love the fact that women are confident enough to do it. I really do.
What's the difference between that and a normal bikini for you?
What do you mean?
What's the difference?
It's this tiny triangle that just sits at the base of your coccyx, and that's the only thing that's covering your butt. There's a massive difference.
Oh, I've seen them. I'm understand the
boys,
concept.
Boys, you are not okay. I'm asking you legitimately, and you've all gone scared.
But I close my eyes.
We're not scared. We're excited. We're pumped up. We think it's great. We're not scared at all. We're very.
You do see them at South Bank quite a lot.
Okay, and why am I okay with it at South
Bank?
Maybe because there's
thing.
Sand.
It's not an Australian. Yes, maybe, because there is sand. It looks normal. You're right. At a Yeronga pool where there's only a little patch of grass.
Yeah. And she was turned away so that everyone in the pool could see her butt. And I'm thinking,
that's the thing.
You are
that's
so brave.
Yeah, she's a national hero. I don't know when Australian.
You just showed
is.
Me the photo. Ed, I just see that. There's Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I've seen
it's too big. She shouldn't be wearing a G-string. What? I think there might be a size.
Okay, I don't have an issue with the G-string size inspector. Of the person wearing the G-string. I just found it a weird thing in a suburban pool.
I think if we put it out there to people, I reckon this could be 100% on our side. I reckon Marawa could win this 100%.
Okay, but the oldies had their aqua aerobics. Like, they were all sitting having coffee.
Mm, yeah, and that'd be... something they'd... to talk about.
Exactly. Make sure you take your heart medicine before you get out there, guys, because there's stuff on show.
Do you get the pool, Brett? You into it?
Absolutely. If a lady's got a nice body, I think it's fine to wear a G-string to a funeral. So why not?
I agree. I agree, really? Brett. Thanks, mate.
So maybe being prudish with my fashion choices. Maybe the problem's with me.
Is it okay to wear the G-string bikini at a suburban pool?
Yeah, let's not mention funerals anymore.
No.
I must be getting old. I'm actually, now that I've said it out loud and actually posed this question to you, because I legitimately, as I was doing my laps, looked up and I thought, why would you do that at
which
a suburban pool?
Which pool were you at? Just remind
Yeronga.
Everyone
which pool. I was at Yeronga Park pool. I was doing my laps like I do a couple of times a week.
That's got a wonderful swim squad. Like, that's a serious training pool.
Jeff Fugel was a member of that swim
he
squad and
G.
pool.
Yeah.
He loved it,
so,
Karen, Grant Hackett there yesterday?
No.
Okay, is it okay? Is it okay to wear a G-string to a suburban pool? Karen, is it okay?
If you have the perfect butt, go for it, I say.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
but what's the perfect butt, though? Because that's subjective.
Something not like mine.
Karen, check out whether you've got the perfect butt? Do you look over your shoulder or do you put your head between your legs and look in the mirror?
I don't have a rubber neck, but I turn around and have a look.
It's all right for everyone else.
Oh, I'm loving you, Karen.
That's good fun, Karen.
Trav of Redcliffe, what do you think about a G-string at a suburban pool?
No, look, pardon me, I'm not a fan of it. The G-string's fine, but I think as it becomes more acceptable, it's more the younger girls that are wearing it. I'm a father of two. Luckily, they're both boys. I don't have to worry about it. But
I see, Trav.
I'm
age cut off, Trav.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Trav, what would be the age cut off where you go, listen, give them a tap on the shoulder, you can't wear it anymore?
Oh, look, I think parents probably should be into it. I think, a woman of full maturity, if she's comfortable wearing it, go for it.
Okay.
But
I think
girls, no.
But Trav, Instagram would close down if you banned the G-string bikini shot. That's basically the whole thing is basically based around that. Thank
is
you, Trav.
Is it really? Is that what Instagram's all about?
Yeah, look, now you're interested.
Yeah, well, no. Just research-wise, I just like to keep on top of things.
Donna of Chermside West, what do you think about the G-string bikini? I'm quite amazed at my own prudishness.
It depends, Robin. Years ago, I swam at a corporate swimming event out at Chandler, and the stadium was packed. There was a relay on and this team was coming last by a full length and this beautiful blonde girl dived in last for her team and the crowd just went silent. She had a G-string on and she had one of these styles where her bum came out of the water at every stroke. So the poor thing had to endure the whole stadium just perving on her bum for a whole length.
But that's what she would have wanted.
They're attention seekers.
Probably. But it was... Look, I thought it was funny at the start, but then it was like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe she's done that at a charity event.
A charity event.
Did you get embarrassed, Donna? Like, I was slightly embarrassed yesterday.
Yeah, I was for her. I was just going, oh, my goodness. So, and I mean, what made it worse was because her bum kept coming out of the water all the time when she swam.
That's funny. All right. Thank you, Donna. Brendan, give us some results, buddy.
90%. If people reckon 90. It's all right to get your buns out.
Surely the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games, the swimming has to
it's
be
an opportunity.
Surely it's G-strings.
Do you still get a surprise when you see topless girls?
No, the topless doesn't bother me.
Well, let's do that at the Commonwealth Games too then.
Oh, come on. You can't swim a race. Excuse me. That just shows how completely naive you are. As if a girl could swim a race topless. Like, no matter how flat you are, that would be a pain in the butt.
Back to the good old Greek Olympic days.
That's right. Yeah, I'm happy with blokes to talk off as well. Yeah.
Commonwealth Games up late.
So, a couple of weeks ago, I went and spoke to Ed's lovely wife, Tiffany, and we had a great chat in the studio about Ed. And got some other great stories out of you, Ed. I learned what you did at a buffet. Not to be repeated often.
Yeah. But you've had more. You've gone to the top of the tree now. You've gone to meet.
And I'm just as happy as you are, Ed, about our lives being investigated through our wives.
Yeah, but I went to your house, Marto, and it was lovely. And your beautiful wife, Kath, she got me a coffee. And you were in your work clothes gardening. And we sent you away. And Teddy the dog was there.
I'm the caretaker.
Yeah. So
you occasionally get sex with the tuck shop lady.
All right.
So that's a good setup for this segment. So imagine us sitting out the back while Marto's in the front gardening and Teddy the dog is at our feet wanting us to throw a frisbee. We're sitting drinking coffee. Yes. And I started the same way that I started when I interviewed Tiff, and I asked, what's a day in the life of Marto like?
It's pretty much the same every day. So he finishes at the studio with you guys, gets on his bike, goes for an hour ride up to Mount Cutha.
Does he?
Most days. And then comes home, has a nude swim.
Every day.
Every day, same routine. Big lunch, gets a bit plum tuckered in the afternoon, but tries to fight having a sleep. And I say, go to bed, doll. And once a week, he'd have an afternoon snooze. But other than that, no.
Whoa.
Let's go back to the nude swim.
Oh, why not?
Isn't your backyard, though, people can see into that yard, man.
Yeah, but who's going to look? My figuring is, I'm older than 50 now. Like, who's, if you're looking at a 50-year-old in the nude, you've got the other one problem.
Nude swim, young nudist.
And I figure if you're my neighbour and you've seen it once and you hear the pool water broke and you go, ooh, I'm getting inside.
I'm going inside. That's fantastic.
Summer,
mate.
And winter, or is this just a summer occupation?
All the time. As long as if the kids aren't home, I don't like to swim nude in front of the kids.
No, that's okay. Yeah. It's all good.
The dog's all right. I wonder what the dog thinks.
Okay. Well, the dog gets quite vocal through this interview
because
little Teddy was like having his frisbee and wanted it thrown. Yeah. Anyway, I then asked Kath just how fit you are and whether you work out.
What? He's incredibly committed to exercise, but he's not vain about it. He goes to the gym most days as well. He looks after his diet. He's not vain. I think he just realises he wants to live a long time. And to do that, he has to do this exercise because he eats a lot. He eats incredible amounts.
Really?
Yeah, the fridge, like, he's just, he demolishes. He would have, like, five meals a day. Like, he eats a lot. Do you see him at work? Does he eat a lot?
Yeah, he has his, like, little prepared things and his fruit and...
And then he'll come home and eat more and then he'll have an afternoon snack and then more. And I just look at him and go, oh... Thank God he exercises, because he'd be a blimp.
Well, I do. You see how much I eat. I love eating.
Yeah, you do.
And that's the thing. If you're going to keep eating, you've got to exercise. If you want to drink beer, you've got to exercise.
Nothing burns calories like a nude swim.
Yeah, that's right.
Knows that. Everybody knows that.
Okay, let us continue.
Oh, boring.
Now, you know it's not. It's really good. You know how I'm quite observant and I like to watch people and their body language and so on.
Oh, this is why Kat said she was really nervous.
Yeah, so, and I especially notice physical stuff about you. I asked Kath about it. What about his injuries? Because you look at him and he's got scars over his body, and I'm guessing that's from sport.
Yeah, well, we've been through a lot of things, like not only rugby injuries, we've had the big heart operation last year, we've had cancer. I mean, he's just taken everything in his stride. He's so positive. He just, he never dwells on anything.
I've never heard him complain.
No.
Not once.
No, he doesn't complain. No, that's just Greg.
Can you tell if he's in pain?
Yeah, he's stiff. So he'll turn his head slowly and he'll walk a bit stiffer sort of thing.
Does he lose his temper quickly, just in case I know for future reference?
No, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, except when he gets the man flu, which every man's like. But no, he's pretty good.
Stiff, mate.
It's stiff, buddy. It's stiff. And what do you mean doesn't complain? We should get Kath in here. We should get Kath in here at 5 in the morning.
Hear some
complaining then.
And I do say I go off occasionally, but I pull it in pretty quickly after I go.
Yeah, well, you explode and then you kind of forget it happened and you move on. But hang on, can we just go through your injuries? Because Kath was a bit vague about that. Like, you've got one on your nose. You've got a shocking scar.
I used to have a heap of my eyes. I tell you what, the first day we met, and I didn't know I'd met her. I thought she was her sister. I ended up getting about 8 stitches in my head, right in the middle of my head. It was just blood was pouring down my face. That was her first meeting. She was still impressed. And told me later I didn't remember meeting her.
But, no, I bet.
So there's heaps of stitches up there and everywhere. But also being a carpenter, you're always ripping things.
Because you have a lot of scarring.
Yeah, and I love them.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. And like she was talking about that cancer stuff in the groin. It's the weirdest thing. That's why I can't wear budgies.
I've never noticed that. That's okay.
Anyway, you're not around for the nude swim. You'd see the whole lot.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sweating now. I just don't want to talk about myself.
Didn't you like that?
Oh, Kath knows everything, and she was actually pretty kind there.
She was lovely.
She could have really slammed me.
Oh, no, that's tomorrow.
Oh, righto.
So do we want to know who's living with injuries?
I wouldn't mind, because you blokes are all so kind of, you're all quiet and you don't like talking about yourselves. And I know blokes are like that, but some of you guys have gone through the wars and come out the other side. So yep. I'm quite interested to hear, and whether it's, you know, women dobbing in their fellas or whether it's chicks who've got their own scars.
What do you want, scars or breaks?
Well, what have you done to your body? Like, how able are you to walk around because you've been scarred so badly?
I reckon I've got probably 20 different occasions I've had stitches. No, I'll go 30 different occasions I've had stitches in my body. They probably equal 300 or 400. There's only been eight here.
Let's go
scars. 10 there. I've got hundreds on my leg.
How'd you get your scars? That's a good one. How did you got? If you got a scar, how did you get your scars?
Different methods. Yeah. But there's about 150 in my knees and stuff, because that was old school before they just did little drill holes. It used to be full on
internal and external
open cut mining in the old days when they were fixing knees up.
Ed, have you got many? Have you got many stitches?
No, I've got one on my elbow from a misplaced BMX trick, and then just one in my head from when I was at my auntie's house in Ashgrove, I turned and just kept running and just ran into a door chasing a dog. That was probably
glass
why I don't
door?
Like them. No, it was like an old wardrobe. So, but anyway, who cares? Let's go to enough about me. Let's go to Jeff from Bribey Island. Jeff, how many stitches, buddy?
Left hand, just over 600.
Whoa!
What happened? Wow. Shark? Oh, what was it?
No, I wish. No, butcher by trade, and in the early days, a very bad butcher.
Holy hell!
What happened?
Because I see him wearing those blue blue band-aids on my kitchen rules. They occasionally have a nick, but that's more than 600.
So what did you do? Is that one accident, or is that multiple?
That's many accidents and bandsaws and knives, you name it. Yeah.
Oh, you're not a butcher now?
No, I'm a service technician for a pool company now. Yeah, much safer.
How many, have you lost the tops off any of your fingers?
Nope, still have every digit all intact. But yeah, okay. Lots and lots of scars.
John of Greenwood, how many?
I don't know, maybe 50.
Hold on, where did you get, where are they, what part of your body?
Well, I snapped my Achilles tendon when I was playing indoor cricket, and snapped it completely in half.
Oh.
And the specialist said it was like joining two mop heads back together.
That's fantastic.
Also, I was playing cricket when I was in sixth class, and I was playing in the slips position, but obviously I was in the extra, extra slips position. And when my mate went to hit the ball, he clocked me straight in the forehead, and I got another 5 out of that one. So I don't play sport anymore.
No, fair enough.
I mean, let's not forget, John, that cricket is a non-contact sport as well, and yet you've managed to really rack up some stitches. Good on you, Johnny.
See you, mate.
Good on
Marty,
you, mate. Well,
Marty from Fairfield.
Yeah.
What injuries? How'd you get them?
I fell in a grave.
You
and
what?
I fell in a grave.
A grave, and as in a hole where...
As in a hole often. In the ground that had been covered. Yeah. It was, I think it's about a 50 or 60-year-old grave. And I went through the metal frame around the grave and ripped my whole knee open.
Where were you at that one at Yeronga there down near the river?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, did you fall on a coffin?
No, it was covered. It's an old grave. There's not many people that get buried there these days. Yeah. It was just onto concrete, but it was more just that I ripped my knee open in that little kind of fencing that they have on the old grave.
The thing is, Marty, that if you fall into a grave, when the ambos get there, if they don't think it looks good, they just put dirt. They just put dirt over the top of you.
I walked out.
Oh, you did? How many stitches?
Yeah, I was still a little bit drunk. I was 14. Onto that.
14?
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Yeah. There's a few things wrong in this story.
So something for Marty, Brendo, for falling drunk into a grave.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, on that. And then walking yourself out. That's awesome.
Yeah, good. You're going Spider Bait, New Brisbane date, Saturday 20th of May at the Tivoli, spiderbait.com.au. On your Marty, well done.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
I handed out the medals for the doll suburbs. Did you see that story? They were promoing all the time. I said, what are the big doll suburbs? And then they ran into Ted, what's his name down the coast, the Gold Coast mayor?
Tom Tate.
They ran into him and said, good news, because Gold Coast, especially around Labrador, was the number one area last year.
Used to be, but not anymore.
Yeah, he was so happy.
That's a good one not to win the gold medal for. I'm saying that there's a job opportunity there for everyone. So if you're on the doll on the Gold Coast, you know, stop surfing and get a job.
I just wanted to play that.
Oh, man.
If you're on the doll, that'd be the best place, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, that's why there used to be so many, but it has not made the number one position.
Yeah, does everyone know how much the dole is? Let's just make sure everyone's really clear.
The unemployed receive $535.60 every fortnight.
All right, everyone write on that.
$535.
Write that down, okay, because we'll refer back to that. Let's go through who's won it this year.
Caboolture has taken out the unfavourable title of Southeast Queensland's dole capital.
Okay. Well it's nothing
Caboolture
to really clap about. Well done, Caboolture. Yeah, it's something. Yeah. There's a shortage of jobs. Who came second and third?
The welfare hotspot is north of Brisbane, including Caboolture and Beachmere, followed closely by the likes of Ipswich and Braceview, with parts of Logan, including Kingston and Woodridge, rounding out the top three.
Can I just say Beachmere is absolute riverfront, and you cannot buy a property on the river.
It's crabbing gold.
It is crabbing gold. I am
fishing
so surprised.
Gold. Great place to live. So is Deception Bay. But there's no, but they reckon there's not enough job. And that's the big thing. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Ed, and I'll defend all those areas. I saw Paul Pasali last night. He said they keep giving us immigrants who don't have a job and they're boosting these dole stats. That's going on.
Yeah, we've heard about that. The unskilled migration, the pressure that puts on public resources. That's,
let's have the chat I want to have.
What's the chat you want to have?
$535 a fortnight.
So $265 a week.
That's right. That's almost $40 a day. I could spend, I could live on that. Let's say my wife said you're a disgrace, I'm off.
Yeah, that might happen after 7:30.
That's fine. And the children don't want anything. No one wants anything to do with me. And I just fall on bad time, hard times. I reckon that's plenty to live on. If I'd have to become homeless, I couldn't live in a house.
Pay electricity and water and stuff.
I had a mate of mine I gave my old ute to, okay? I haven't seen him for a while. He was on hard times. He was an old cop and he got into a bit of trouble, la, la, la.
Oh, God.
He's been living in the back of my ute. I don't know where it is. My old, really old one's done about 300,000 Ks. Gave it to him. He had to move out of the men's boarding quarters. He'd been living on the dole. Does it easy. It's nearly $40 a day.
Yeah, but why would you want to? Like, get it if you can't get a job and you're on old hard times and you're trying to get your life back together. But seriously, long term, that's not my idea of a good time.
But it's possible to do. Does anyone know anything about it? 133353, because I just want to go through it. How much does it cost for food each day? I reckon I could eat for $15 a day. I could have a six pack of ordinary beer.
Oh my God.
For my $40 a day.
Look at Ed's face.
I know, you're horrified. I know, you've just bought a house and you're going to have a child and stuff. I'm looking at the other end of life and going, I could wind myself down on the Nile Dole quite nicely.
All day?
Crabbing and fishing. See, you catch stuff. Why wouldn't all doll bludgers be having a fish?
Can I just say something about it?
Yeah, please.
The answer to all of life's questions is not go crabbing.
No.
You've really, something's happened to you in the last couple of months where you're like, I'll just quit me job and crab. I'll just get on the doll and crab. Your answer to everything is crabbing.
Yeah, and you'd get bored.
I don't have superannuation. I've told you that.
I look at these
sort of things and I go, it's possible to survive.
Marto, you were required to stand for 1 hour at the dawn service and you fidgeted. Mm. Could you imagine yourself after a week of crabbing? You would be bored witless. You need things to do.
Fishing and crabbing.
Yeah. I don't think he would be.
I've got to go down to the dole office and get me $265.
Okay, this is not a good thing. I don't want to be advocating going on the dole because Marto says you can go crabbing.
No. I hear what you're saying, though. It gets vaguely tempting. I've had friends that were actors. I'm just saying, Robin, for certain people, I had actors, mate of mine, who were actors that were living on the dole for a couple of years, and they weren't living well, But yeah, they were living. They were living. And James from Regent's Park, what do you want to say, mate?
Hey, mate, how are you going? Long time listener, first time caller. Always been getting on the air. Welcome. I was just going to say that so like, if you're getting $40 a week, you know, like I own my swag and that. I've always worked, but, you know, if I was to live on the dollar, just go live up at Tambourine Mountain, $8 a night for camping fees, $30 for food and some drinks. You know, you're laughing, but, you know, I'd never do that. I've always been working since I was 15.
Yeah, I know. But you're saying what you do, James, is what mattered is you sort of tally it in your head and you see if you could survive. Yeah. And then you're saying, yeah, with the $8 camping fee, I don't know what James's crabbing is like. I mean, we'd have to ask him.
No, there's no crabbing at
Mount Tambourine.
Not that good, mate.
Not that good up there.
No, well...
Go pigging? I don't know. What are you doing, Tambourine?
Yeah, get yourself a slingshot. Kill ibis. Like, you'd survive.
No!
You find a way.
This is ridiculous. No.
Okay. Don't spend your life eating bin chickens.
I just wanted to tell you.
Oh, my God.
For God's sake.
You're down on your luck, everyone. It's possible.
Okay.
Anyway, Ron of Bribie Island actually does. Hey, Ron.
I do.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there, Marto.
Are you homeless or have you got a place?
I was actually homeless about 4 months ago, yeah.
All right. Well, you have to be on the dole. How can you survive on the dole?
Well, it is difficult, but you can do it.
How do you do it, Ron?
Well, you get $634 a week. You pay your rent, you pay your electricity, you buy your food, you pay for your phones, and away you go. It is different. You go fishing, you have a bit of time, you know, like you get your leisure times.
Hey, Ron, you've been applying for jobs, I understand.
Yeah, I apply for probably one, two, three a day sometimes.
Okay.
I'm up for 20 a month, otherwise they'll cut me off.
Oh, is that what it is? 20 a month, righto.
That's for me, but the woman upstairs only going to do 15.
Now, Ron, why haven't you had any luck so far finding a job, do you reckon?
I don't reckon I don't want to pay the wages.
Right. What do you mean?
I put an ad on Gumtree Saturday morning, pretty early. Now I got a reply. Friday morning, sorry. I got a reply almost straight away. We can give you a job.
Yeah.
I've been emailing these people for the last 3 days, and you know they haven't replied back.
So, Ron, a choice between working and being on the dole, which would you choose?
I'll take your job. You can have my spot.
Okay. There you go.
I'll see you, Savo, Ron.
Okay, Ron, do you do any crabbing? I think Marto was.
Yeah, right. He does. Gone, you know that. The largest fight in Australian boxing history, they're calling it, come July, Horn versus Pacquiao. We've seen Pacquiao in Brisbane Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think he's going down to Sydney later on. Well, let's find out. Because a bloke who's been with him the whole time he's been in Brizzy, I guess he's going to Sydney, is Jim Bannigan. Hello, mate.
Hello, Marto. You actually have got me in Sydney. We flew down last night. We had to do some radio and print with Manny last night, and we've actually starts again in about another half an hour. I'm just sitting here with Manny's manager, Mr. Michael Conte. Be very careful with pronunciation.
Yes.
and we're just going through the today's running schedule, and we've got then Melbourne later this afternoon and a number of TV shows tonight in Melbourne.
Well, I know you're doing the footy show. You're the Hornets manager, but you've been with Pacquiao. Well, what's he like, mate?
Actually, he's a very pleasant young man. Well, he's 38. He's a nice fellow. Yeah. Mate, he's a senator over there. He has a small group around him everywhere that he travels with. And, mate, he enjoys Australian humour. He's actually got a good sense of humour. He enjoys the Aussie humour. But he can't get over our twang. He just sits there and listens to it and amuses him. And he starts laughing at me every time I start talking to him. He tries to get me to pronounce my words correctly. He seems to think I've got some problems. And maybe I need a little bit of... His wife actually told me to go and get some lessons on how to speak. She just is so confused.
Elocution lessons, Jim Bradigan. That's unbelievable. Hey, how exciting. This is going to be... It's July 2nd. Suncorp Stadium, it's going to be huge. We're hoping that it's going to be a massive sellout. It will be a sellout. How many people around the world are we predicting is going to be watching this fight, Jim?
Well, mate, I wake up every morning. I got to now start work at 4 a.m. because I get between 40 and 45 emails from around the world with media wanting something for that day.
Oh,
so that's I address them from 4 to 6. So the interest overseas is incredible. As Michael will tell you, I'll throw him on a second day. In the Philippines alone, 90% of TV audiences watch the fight right through Asia. That's the number, mate. trying to put a number on it. I haven't got enough zeros on a calculator, I don't think.
Wow. Can I check, though? Jim, 55,000 at the stadium. Mate and I were talking yesterday. There's not that many boxing fans in Brisbane, Queensland. Are they coming? Are they going to be coming from all around Australia and the world, that 55,000?
Well, there's been pre-sales now of a very large number. And I see in the paper someone's written the number, and they're very close, actually. And it doesn't go on sale until 12 o'clock today. We've had this 280 from the Netherlands. There's about 400 from another European country.
Wow.
I'm telling you, when we do a little bit more research, you actually find that they're Filipino Netherlands people. They're successful all around the world. Mate, the Filipinos, and even talking to everyone, they integrate everywhere they go, and they become very successful.
Yeah. They're great people.
And they go well, but they all adore one man. Doesn't matter what country they're in, there's one man I adore. And I'm starting to get a bit of a feel of it at the moment. It's like having a Rolling Stones and the Beatles all in one man.
Righto.
Mate, it is ridiculous. I took his wife up to Mount Coosa the other night just to show what it looked like from up there, the city, and you're not going to believe it. She got mobbed.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it surprised me.
I thought, that'll do me. And it's deserving. And I thought, this poor fellow, no wonder he can't go anywhere.
Yeah,
but Jim,
right.
can I just check something? So you and Manny's manager are obviously talking a lot and organising stuff,
yes.
But Jeff and Manny don't really speak, do they?
Well,
yesterday.
The manager and myself are not going in to bash each other or fight, and we're not putting our world titles on the line because we've got different weight divisions. Yeah. But Manny and Jeff are a little bit different.
But no, they have true. I know. I saw them, and I saw them do with the shots and stuff, but then they go into their separate corners and have nothing to do with each other. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%. This is not ballroom dancing. This is two of the fittest young men on the planet. For their age, this is for a world title fight. And this one man is probably the most respected boxer on the planet currently, and the other man wishes to be there one day. They're not here to make friends. They're here to meet each other, promote the fight, and move on.
Hey, Jim, undercard, is there any chance that we can do some novelty events? Yeah, early in the afternoon, could I get a fight? Things like that.
Marto would have to have a ballot to get take who's going to take you on. God, you've them poor little rugby union fellas that you've been bagging the last few years will be lining up there.
There'll be a long line, Jim. They'll be all right.
See you, boys. This is the best.
You want to talk My Kitchen Rules?
What has my wife been watching ever since the Australian Open finished in January?
Oh, she loves it, My Kitchen Rules.
And I tell you that I walk past the lounge and I've lost her. I've been an MKR widow for months now, and it's finally, she got me last night. I said, this has to wrap up. I just made the comment. I said, this has to be finished soon, darling. We've had enough of this. She said, it's the second semi. All right. Oh. I said, righto, I'm going to give it a go. I sat down for the whole program last night and watched it, and it was... Ed, I know he's one of your favourites, but Pete Evans, is traditional, had this to say.
Technique is great, flavour composition is also great, but it's just not enough.
He needs more food, the poor bastard.
Poor bugger.
It's not enough.
There's been so much fodder in the women's magazines. This is my contribution to this, as well as watching some of it.
Because this is significant, and this is the main reason I'm bringing it up. You have to watch the MKR Grand Final this weekend if you're a Brisbane person. I don't know how many people there were. You've watched a couple of episodes.
Thousands and thousands.
Out of all those cooks from around Australia, the grand final is now between a couple of people from Kangaroo Point are going up against a couple of people from New Farm.
Yeah, we've got Tyson and Amy, the brother and sister
trio.
That's
Angry Man and his girlfriend and his sister against Valerie and Courtney, who I spoke about before. Kath works down at Coles at New Farm sometimes, and they're superstars down there. Their sauce went crazy after they made their sauce. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the reason I want to talk to you about this is because Kath filled me in. This show is not rigged. I've decided, I found out, I watched last night, it might be edited, but it's not rigged because the pub mates, they were two of the...
Kyle and Tim.
I don't know any of their names, but one of them's a big unit, huge unit. The other guy looks a bit like Richie Cunningham, Ron Howard. All right, so Ron Howard... is having sessions with Amy.
Apparently, yes. He was saying, calling a babe.
If they won last night, the two pub mates would have been going up. And this is the only place these people can find boyfriends and girlfriends.
Well,
apparently.
No, they're just locked away for months on end.
Yeah. So Angry Man's sister doing the thing with
the
Ron Howard.
Tango.
They could have been in the grand final together. That would have been the perfect story. But pub mates didn't get through. Valerie and Courtney got through, the mother-daughter from New Farm. Okay. It's just a magnificent tale, see? And it's two Brisbane couples, so Channel 7 wouldn't have wanted that to happen.
Yeah, but if you believe Woman's Day Out this week, it says that Courtney is dating Angry Man. So maybe you will see,
Courtney,
apparently.
Courtney?
Yep.
Dating Angry Man.
Do you want to ask her?
Have you got him?
Yeah, we've got him on the line.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Valerie
these
and Courtney
two
are on the line. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, good on you, Val.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, bless. Well, we need to address this straight off, Courtney. Are you with Angry Angry Man?
Oh, no. Look, Tyson, you're a lovely guy, but I am in a happy relationship with my partner of nearly 2 years, Daniel. Oh, so, no, okay. That
you
is
women's
not
magazines
true. We're competitors and rivals, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Let me just say, though, there's hanky-panky going on, but not with Courtney.
Oh. Whoa. Is it with Amy?
Hope you're behaving yourself. Keep yourself tidy, Val.
Don't worry, Manu.
We're
into line.
Guys, congratulations. What a massive achievement.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah. We can't believe it. It's so surreal.
Can you, Valerie? Can you, Ed? I just want to get
one at a time. Yeah. One at a time, guys. One at a time, because you're on phones, but you're in separate places.
Oh,
so
right.
It's wonderful technology that Channel 7's done. They normally do this for Koshy and Sam because they can't stand just being in the same room together. So, look, I've heard a rumor, and I'll address this to you, Courtney. Is it true that as part of the final, you know, they give you a surprise dish? Is it true that you guys have to cook up the results of Manu's liposuction?
Stop it.
Hi.
No comment.
No comment.
So tell us about the final, because it would have already been shot. You would probably know the answer, do you?
We don't even know the answer.
You don't. Okay, but it has been recorded.
It has been pre-recorded.
Much like we should have done with this interview. Valerie and Courtney from MKR, best of luck. Go away. That's it. Thank you. Good luck.
They're calling it a catastrophe. There's cats jumping off apartments. Can I just, I'll quote a little bit. As a result of the growing apartment living population, people have got cats and they're jumping or falling off up to 8 stories high. Oh. And the Green Cross vets, they're saying, yes, we've seen a lot more cat injuries, broken legs, chest injuries and head trauma due to these falls from apartment balconies. I wanted to go a little bit deeper, so I've got a hold of Kate Morris, Dr. Kate Morris from Green Cross Vets at Morrowfield. Now, Kate, have you seen an increase in these cat injuries because of the falls?
Yeah, we have. Certainly my colleagues closer to Brisbane have been seeing an increase of it, mainly closer to the, I guess, city centre, where everyone's living closer together in high-rise buildings, but we certainly see it out in Morrayfield, more so from second-storey buildings and falling from trees as well, which is part of the high-rise syndrome.
Okay, so are they falling out or are they jumping out?
Well,
are they pushed?
That it's more let's hope not. We're hoping they're not pushed. We think it's more falling out. A lot of these cats are getting frights potentially, so outside construction noises, certainly from high-rise buildings, just starting up a vacuum or a blender can give them a fright. Cats like to get hot, so they like to be up high, and usually it's just a fright that's causing them to slip, or unfortunately they're chasing butterflies, bugs or other things, and obviously getting focused on the price. So,
Dr. Kate, you said high-rise syndrome.
Yeah, so that's a term that's given to falling from a height, basically, and I think vets and the public probably come up with that. It sounds a bit nicer than just falling syndrome, I guess. But it can be falling from any height, usually over 2 stories. So,
Kate, the article we read said they can survive a fall from 6 stories, because I've always heard the story they've got enough time to right themselves and land on their feet.
Yeah, well, that's what we think that's happening. So after a certain point, a lot to do with physics, obviously, but after a certain point, the cat stops gaining speed as they're falling towards the ground, which gives them time to relax a little bit. And so what we think is happening with these guys is they're having time to right themselves, but they're relaxing, and so as they're hitting the ground, their muscles, bones, everything is a little bit more relaxed, cool, and it seems to do a little bit less damage. But unfortunately, their chest and their head takes the brunt of the fall. So,
what the heck is going through a cat's head that it falls from 7 stories and relaxes?
Well, I think we'd all love to know what goes through a cat's head sometimes. they're such beautiful creatures. I think more the fright factor is what we think is going on with these guys. They're just getting a fright. Losing their grip and falling, or they're actually, you know, hunting things because that's what cats like to do. So they're so focused on that that they're not thinking about the height below. Wow.
Are you a cat or a dog person, Kate?
You know what? I can't pick, to be honest with you.
Oh,
I
love
my cats and I love my dogs. I love them all, actually. So, yeah.
That's nice. All right, Dr. Kate Morris from a Green Cross Vets in Moray Field telling us about this phenomenon of cats going off high-rise buildings.
Yeah, it's certainly not something that we want to see an increased frequency of, definitely.
No, but it's interesting.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Kate, as a vet, what's the weirdest thing you've heard a cat do?
Well, my own cat actually swallowed a 5-cent coin, so I think she cost me $90, so she owes me $89.95 back. But,
that's great.
That's probably one of the weirdest things so far. So there's much more out there.
Yeah, so far, and we're going to find out. Thank you so much, Dr. Kate Morris from Green Cross Vets.
That's a weird one, Cavalier, like 5 cents. You reckon there's weirder?
Oh, yeah, cats are mad. The internet has proved that cats are the home of odd behaviour. What odd thing has your cat done? An odd injury, eating something weird, come home. What is it doing? Why are you standing there? Why have you done that? This is your chance. What weird thing has your cat done? Ricky from Crestmead, bizarre behaviour from your cat. What happened, mate?
Yeah, mate, my mum used to have a cat. We called her Polly the Parrot Cat. And this thing used to sit on her shoulder everywhere. Toilet, shops, petrol station, everywhere.
Ooh, what?
Yeah. The worst one was she used to like to curl up on the still warm elements after Mum had finished cooking dinner. Oh. And this one night, we're all sitting down eating dinner, and we look up and we're like, we can smell burning here. And we look over and there's smoke wafting up from the oven. And lo and behold, there's Polly the Parrot Cat. She's curled up around one of the elements.
On fire.
And she's basically smoking away and didn't actually burn the skin, but burned all the fur. And you know those coil elements, those old coil elements?
Yeah,
She had that pattern. She had that pattern burned into her side for about 4 or 5 weeks until it grew out.
Did she not feel it?
She didn't. Must have felt
it. No.
Imagine if the internet was around when that happened.
That's great. That's great.
Well, the thing was, you got to remember, it was back in New Zealand. It was the middle of winter. It was freezing cold, so. Yeah, it was just a strange cat.
So who can blame her?
Yeah, that's
you know what that was, don't you, Ricky?
That is horrific.
Yeah, that is horrific, Ricky. Yeah, thanks Ricky.
Thanks, Ricky.
Cheer, bro.
Wayne of Deception Bay, what is that weird thing your cat's done?
How you going, guys? This cat actually got a fright for some reason. I was sitting there quietly watching TV by myself. It jumped straight up in the air a good metre, literally proverbial itself like a jet-propelled unit and just shot straight out the door. And I had this big skid mess to clean up. Like, I just couldn't believe it. Never seen anything like it.
Wow. What happened? What spooked it, Wayne?
I don't know to this day. It's something inside its head, or I don't know what it was. But it was just
like a ghost. Must have seen
never
a ghost,
seen anything
Wayne.
Like it.
They say cats can see ghosts. That's crazy.
Yeah, they do. Oh, they do say that.
Yeah. Saw a ghost that day, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true, Wayne. Get on your way.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
See you, buddy.
You want to like a ghost of a dog? Like, what is that? Dan of Eaton's Landing, what's the weird thing your cat's done?
Oh, she's a bit of a freak, really. She's had two litters, and so we got the male cat fixed, and now she's decided that she wants to get amorous with my arm when I'm sitting on the lounge.
Beautiful, Dan. Beautiful. Oh, do you have a hairy arm, Dan? Do you have a hairy arm?
No, I trim my arm hairs, which that's another story. Because it's for work reasons, but
Oh, Dan, that's so annoying. What, are you going to shake it off?
Yeah, that.
Oh, mate, I push her away and she comes back and I push her away. Oh, it's actually really disturbing and she's ramped it up over the last couple of weeks.
Will not take no for an answer.
Dan, that's
loves a manicured arm.
Backing up onto Dan's arm.
Okay.
We should YouTube
Sandra.
That.
Someone throw a bucket on Dan's arm, please.
Sandra, talk to us. What's crazy behavior of your cat, Cassandra? What happened?
While I was pregnant 13 years ago, every night for the whole of my pregnancy, my cat used to bring home at night time plastic tea set pieces, including plastic food. I don't know where she stole it from.
What are you talking
about? But every
about?
Morning at the back door, there was a little piece of tea set. And by the end of my pregnancy, I had a complete tea set.
What, from cubby houses or doll houses or something? That's tough.
I think it was from somebody's sandpit because they were often covered in sand.
What is so cute. That is
Can we get a psychologist? Who's the psychologist here to explain that to me?
Resident cat psychologist. Because normally they bring in, like, dead birds and stuff as a present.
Absolutely. And she's never done it ever since. So my daughter's now 13. I was told I was having a boy. And so bringing home a tea set didn't really make much sense to me.
But then I ended up
with a little girl. So she spent the first 5 years playing with the tea set.
That's amazing. Well, now that your daughter's 13, maybe the cat could bring home an iPhone and Netflix subscription.
Be a very old cat.
I have been waiting.
It is true, though. Like, I remember with my cat, we had this old bush cat called Emma, and she was really attached to my mum. And the night my father died, he had a heart attack at home and died at home.
Hey.
Mum went for a walk after the ambulance had gone before she woke us kids up to tell us.
Oh, God.
And she went for about a 2K walk, and Emma the bush cat walked about 5 metres behind her for the entire 2 kilometres yowling.
Wow.
And Mum walked like full on up to the next suburb, and Emma stayed with her the entire time and then just came home and sat on her lap.
Oh.
And they say they know, like, cats have some sort of sense.
Psychic cats.
Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, that's another, you know.
We really are. This show has really changed. We're now talking psychic cats. This is great.
Thursday night football. The Broncos taking on the Panthers at Suncorp, Marto.
Thank you very much for my tipping lately. Brendan, I like the fact that you support Panthers, and I love somebody who has a, you know, you've had them for most of your life and you hang on to them, and I like that faithful and loyalty. But you've caused me a lot of angst because you support them. I keep tipping them.
Yeah,
six
too,
losses
mate.
Now.
Me too, yeah, no.
And what have you done this week?
I haven't picked them for the first time ever. Yeah. First time ever. Haven't picked them.
I'm going
to
pick them.
Isn't that turning? Aren't you supposed to, regardless?
No,
even
because
if
you're happy
last?
Either way, because if they win, I'm like, cool, they finally won one. But if the Broncos win, it's like, well, my tips are good. They're back. So
good. And tell us, second last in the Courier Mail tipping. He's tipped the Broncos. Darren Lockie out last. He's tipped the Broncos.
Yeah. What do you think, Ed?
It'll be an upset.
I think Thursday night football's great. But I think they've got to move the time back. The kickoff, the 8 o'clock kickoff, is too late. Now, during daylight savings and that type of thing, if the Broncos were away, it was great because kickoff was at 7. I don't understand. It's a great way of getting, you know, ratings and people to watch it on a weeknight, which Thursday definitely is.
What'll they say, Ed? Oh, we got a current affair on. Like, what would they have on tonight on a current affair?
Well, I think if it's, well, Channel 9, is it The Voice still?
No,
on?
The Voice isn't on tonight.
Current affair goes until 7:30. Then they've got a 20-minute build-up. What do you need a build-up to Penrith versus the Broncos?
You've got to get rid of that pre-game show as well. Why, if the kickoff was at 7 o'clock, people would be much more likely to sit down and watch it.
Okay, so this is a question that I have no idea of the answer of genuinely, but surely also isn't it partly to just clear the traffic out of the City Peak? Does that have anything to do with it? Because if you think Milton Road and Coro
kind of
Drive.
Sensible. That's a good one.
All right.
Thought of that.
Yeah, all right, right.
No, but you know, oh, whoops, sorry.
She's such a mum. That's probably true.
Yeah, that's maybe.
Can I run another one by you? That okay. I've no one.
You don't like that,
analysis.
Okay.
Yeah, just talking more seriously about the game tonight. There's four players in the Panthers team with hyphenated last names. The Broncos have got zero. What does a hyphenated name be?
No, like, give them to me. Tell me what they are.
There's Watini Zelezniak. There's Campbell Gillard. That's his last name. There's a Harawira Nera.
Yeah, he's great.
And there's... Now, listen, I'll just say the names. No need to commentate.
Right.
And there's a Fisher-Harris. They're all hyphenated names, four of them. Does that mean the old man's taken off, or what's happened there?
Well, I think it's the...
Oh, my God.
And they just...
Isn't that the old theory? The old theory is that if you've got a hyphenated last name... You're either a really rich person that went to Eton, you went to school with Prince Harry.
That's right.
Or you're on the bench for the Panthers. That's the only two indications that you have a hyphenated last name.
But if you've got a name Watini, that's enough. You don't have to add Zelezniak.
Hang on. Maybe these players have very strong mothers who didn't
demanded that their name got
the husband's name, and so their children had the hyphen. Is that a Western Suburbs kind of thing to do, Brendan?
Definitely. Did you see when Watini's a Lesniak, the brothers were playing?
Yeah,
the two of them. Watini's a Lesniak.
Oh, that almost drove. That almost gave Rabs a stroke that night.
Wonderful.
When they scored that try.
I paired up on the side, didn't know who to call. Broncos tonight by how much?
15.
Yeah, done.
I'm tipping the Panthers. Okay. See you here tomorrow.
Come on, Brendan. You are the Panthers guy. What do you tip?
Broncos by 10.
I'm tipping the Panthers. Peter Wallace knows his way around Suncorp.
All right. Best of luck. Quarter past eight.
Another dud week.
Wear your pink jersey tomorrow.
Don't have a pink jersey. Nardo, Ed and Robin. It's the new Triple M.